Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck having another beautiful day in my consciousness. It is another beautiful day in my consciousness. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi. Great. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton behaving, and this is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
Bill, you cannot behave on
that. That's right. We don't know how to react if he behaves, do
we? It'll ruin the program. Okay. Just remind the folks what you do.
Oh, we have an online ministry, and it is called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening. You can get there by going to yourspiritualpractice.com, and it has links to get you everywhere you need to go.
Hooray! And I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where, of course, you can see the Absolute Word, which is posted every week, as well as my calendar that shows where I'm going. What I'm doing. What am I doing? Anyway.
And where are you?
Here we are. And isn't it funny? I wonder what it is about the human mind that you know the title of your organization. We talk about it offline, but when we got to do it, when it's recording, what is that?
I don't know. It's something like your mind goes blank. Like, who are we? Where am I? What is my name?
That's right. So this is a very important day in the life of Metaphysical Romp 2, because this will be the last day we're going to be looking at spiritual law. So we've gotten through all the spiritual principles, all the spiritual laws, and I don't think I have the rules organized well enough, but if I do, we can circle back to that. Yay, right?
Yes.
So today is like a continuation from last week, where we had the law of demand and supply, or the law of supply and demand. This continues on in the exact same place where we were reading last time from Lessons in Truth. Emily Cady, it goes on a little more. We're going to be looking at the law of abundant supply. I've read this, and I wondered if we should do it, but there's a really interesting piece in this, folks, that is so classic Unity or Emily Cady or whatever. And then at the break, we're going to be pivoting to Bill's book, Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, and we're going to be looking at cellular theology, page 33. And that's another example. What I was just asking about is I have to look and read the title off my guide sheet or off the book. I know the title, but I still have to read it.
Well, you know, it's interesting that we're going there, because we have some good minister friends, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, even Catholic. And a lot of times, even though they've been in the pulpit, say, for 20 or 30 years, they'll write the first line of the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that was my first experience of this, mm-hmm. is that when I was working with that small group in Puerto Rico that became Beacon of Light Unity Church, we had to post on the podium the whole Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. and the prayer for protection, because people have a hiccup around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like so amazing. Yeah.
My dad was a Methodist minister for 40 plus years, and he always had the first five words of the Lord's Prayer written down. And I asked him why once, and he said, the worst thing you could ever do is have a mental block right when you're ready to start the Lord's Prayer.
Isn't that fascinating? And hooray for him. He gets back on track after five words. I might not. Yeah.
Well, that's muscle memory kicks in. When you say it's a trick from acting, when you get the first word, or that's why they have blocking on stages. Because if you get your body in the right place, the words come out if you've done your homework.
Mm-hmm. So I never related that blocking to muscle memory, but mm-hmm. it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect sense. Okay. So you're ready to do this one?
Yes.
So we're doing the Law of Abundant Supply, Emily Cady, Lessons in Truth, and take her away.
All right. Here's what Emily says. Knowing the law of abundant supply and the truth that supply always precedes the demand, demand simply being the call that brings the supply into sight. knowing that all desire in the heart for any good is really God's desire in us and for us, how shall we obtain the fulfillment of our every desire and that right speedily?
Yeah, so that is really, that is a paragraph that's only one sentence. Did you see that?
It is one sentence and it's a question.
And it's
so all that preceding, you're wondering, where is she going with this? And then it's she's asking, so we know this, then how do we do it? Which everybody has those questions, I think.
Yes, and in the context of what we've been teaching and where we've, I hope, evolved to, maybe some people think we're devolving, is that when it says really God's, the possessive desire, that is not a being desiring, but the principle of love.
Yep. Yes.
Which, so the principle of love or desire is always present with us.
Yeah. And it's that inner yearning that we feel, that urge.
Good language. Inner yearning, that urge. And then we attach the desire to things we want, or people we want, or situations we want, or whatever. So that's really cool. I like that at the very beginning, demand simply being the call that brings the supply into sight.
Right.
That's really brilliant, because that to me connects to confirmation bias.
Yeah, it does. And also that supply always precedes demand. I mean, she's got a lot in that one sentence.
She does.
That means the field of infinite potential is always present. And no matter what our demand is, the supply is already there. We have to call it in. And that's the being the call. The demand is the call.
Yes, indeed. And we could say the collapsing of the wave. Yep. And what was that other word, Bill? Superimposition of the waves. Do you get enough amplitude or something that it actually collapses out?
Exactly. Yep.
Very cool. Okay, go ahead.
So let's see what she says. She says, she has a quote from Psalms 37:4 first, which is, "Delight thyself also in Jehovah, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart."
Okay, train wreck.
Yeah. And so this is going back to old theology. Take right hold of God with an unwavering faith.
And
so
there she went. Start there, right?
Because
now she went to where we are, taking hold of God, taking hold of principle.
Right.
Which is really.
I don't know if she meant that, though. She may have meant the Jehovah God that is in that verse. But we're going to interpret it.
Right. But any way we want.
It's our show, right?
Our show. Wow.
So that part, that's, again, one of the 12 powers is faith, and it's standing in that faith without doubt.
Exactly. So why don't you start with that second line anyway?
Okay. So again, we're answering the question, how do we obtain the fulfillment of our every desire? In other words, how do we manifest when we have the demand? How do we do it? So first step is take right hold of God with an unwavering faith. So standing strongly in that faith power. And then she says, begin and continue to rejoice. And she says, thank him that you have, not will have, that you have the desires of your heart, never losing sight of the fact that the desire is the thing itself in incipiency. I don't know that word. What does that word mean, incipiency?
It's at its very starting point.
Okay.
When we desire something, as soon as we attach our desire to something, that's the seed thought. That's the beginning. And then as we hold on to it, it grows in consciousness.
Yeah, and it's important for our listeners to know that it's the beginning, all right, but it's the beginning of our process of manifestation. It's existed before we even had the desire.
Yeah, so the principle and all the raw materials or metaphysical raw materials are there.
Already there, yeah.
So it's a desire that separates out from the infinite potential those items, those principles that we can use to manifest.
Yep. So the head cognition is not going to get you there. It takes the desire from the heart.
Yeah. So that's why I like when we think about the old ways we thought about love, we thought of it as only being a feeling. But when we name it desire, it's a thought and feeling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So really what she's saying here is step one is stand in that faith of knowingness and then rejoice that you have it. So don't be saying I want it or it's coming, but rather that's what the as if principle really means. It's I'm affirming and giving gratitude that it already is here.
Yes. So you were really starting at having the end in mind.
Yes. Yes. As visibly as you can, with as much energy as you can.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because there we have another principle, right? We have imagination, and imagination is not just visualization. We got to at least do it in a few of the five primary senses and in as many senses as we can muster.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
And what's interesting is just the analogy, a good metaphor for this is that knowledge doesn't necessarily get you anywhere. Applied knowledge does.
Does, absolutely.
So so the same thing's true.
So applied knowledge is what we're talking about here when we say desire.
Yep.
When you think about it.
Yes, indeed.
And she reinforces this by saying, if the good were not already yours in the invisible realm of supply, you could not by any possibility desire it. That's interesting.
Wow. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Now, I love where she goes with this, because this is everybody always, no matter what you say, somebody in the class is going to bring up the absolute far out of the field example and try to throw everything off course. So she takes care of that right here.
Yes.
Someone asks, suppose I desire my neighbor's wife or his property. Is that desire born of God? And can I see it fulfilled by affirming that it is mine?
You know what? So this is something I needed to read today.
Were you desiring somebody's wife?
No. So first of all, our experience, and you've said it, is that when we equate the power of love to desire, a lot of people go to the lust end of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
And so this is going to answer how to handle that in the classroom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So here's what she says to that. You do not and cannot by any possibility desire that which belongs to another.
So I would disagree with that. It's too blanket a statement. But what follows is what's really fundamentally happening.
Okay. You do not desire your neighbor's wife. You desire the love that seems to you to be represented by your neighbor's wife. That's interesting. You desire something to fill your heart's craving for love. Affirm that there is for you a rightful and an overflowing supply and claim its manifestation. It will surely come, and your so-called desire to possess your neighbor's wife will suddenly disappear.
So it's a bit of a manipulation, and there is a good truth here. Mm-hmm. And this is where she's being kind of absolutist, even more absolute than us, right?
Yeah.
Is that you cannot desire another person's wife. Well, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
And people do all the time.
People do all the time. But if what this says to me is if that's happening in me, the way I overcome that is to realize what I desire is something deeper.
Yes. That's important.
Yeah. That thing that I'm desiring is really about a deeper desire. Mm-hmm. So I'll just give a wild example. I hope I don't do this anymore, but when I was really young, having a car was important. As I look back on as an adult, it really wasn't a desire to have the car. It was desire to be recognized as having the ability to have a car and how that car represented success.
Status.
Status. Oh, that's the word I was looking for. Yeah, that it was status. Gives me status as if I don't have it on my own, right?
Yeah. We work with car dealerships a lot, with the luxury dealerships. One of the things we talk about is the two different reasons people have vehicles. One is for function and one is for status.
Yes.
And you have to figure out why a person wants this so you can sell to the need they bring.
Yeah.
And luxury dealerships, it's usually status. A lot of people who go to luxury car dealerships go for status because they don't need a BMW or a Mercedes. They want it. They want it.
Yes, because it says something about them.
Right. And that's not right or wrong. There's nothing wrong. There's no judgment.
No, yes, correct. And that somehow they think they're the car.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Really exactly. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
So quickly, yeah, we will finish this up. She says, so you do not in reality desire anything that belongs to your neighbor. You want the equivalent of that for which his possessions stand. You want your own. There is today an unlimited supply of all good provided in the unseen for every human being. Wow, that's a hard pill for a lot of people to hear, to swallow.
Okay. So here's what happens. So the way I read this years ago and the way I read it now is different. Mm-hmm. There is an unlimited supply of all good. So what's all good?
Right.
Charles defined the all good as the universal principle which contains principles. Mm-hmm. So there's already an unlimited supply of principle. That's all she's saying there. But yeah. She puts it in a language that meets people at different places.
Right, right.
So another way of looking at this, then you could say that if you want to be perfectly ethical about something like this and moral, that you're desiring your neighbor's wife's twin in the unmanifest.
Yeah, and yes, yes, unborn.
The unseen twin. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No person must needs have less than another may have more.
That should be no man need have less that another may have more.
That's how they would talk.
Yeah. Your very own awaits you. Your understanding, faith, or trust is the power that will bring it to you.
Yeah. So there she brings up understanding faith, which mm-hmm. is a knowing faith, which is knowing based on principle and law.
Right.
Yeah. This is not blind faith in a God that doesn't for you.
Before we leave this, I think we should say something to our listeners that may not have been with us long as we've been taking care of Paul's treatment of the laws and principles. If they've only heard maybe a half a dozen or 20 or so listening to our podcast, where else can they get the complete list of laws and principles?
Oh, that's from my latest book, Use the Truth You Know, Unity's Principles and Premises. Thanks, Bill.
And where do they find that book, Paul?
So they can write to me and I'll send it to them, albert hasselbeck@gmail.com, and they can...
Is it on your website? You don't have a link on your website yet?
You know what? I don't know. Anyway, just...
We are going to get that up there if it's not there now.
Just type it into your web browser. Unity carries it. I'm delighted if you can get it through unity.org or even through Amazon. It's more important we get the information out than have more money in our pocket.
If you get it from Paul, that's what we recommend.
Yes. Yes, we do.
All right.
Okay.
Good. Switch.
Thank you. And actually, that's where we normally do a little reminder for people. So perfect timing, Bill. I'm sure you did that purposely. So now we're pivoting to Reverend Bill's book, Unplugged and Unedited. We're going back through the book, picking up ones that Cher wanted to do but didn't. And so we're going to do Cellular Theology. And this is on page 32.
All right. And it's a nice little
one. It's just a short one. Yeah.
It's a little short one, but it was very powerful. And I think it's important, particularly as people begin to focus on their health and wholeness and want to see that.
Yes.
So Bill calls that cellular theology. And here's what he has to say. Each cell, every molecule, each of your atoms is a sacred tabernacle of pure consciousness. These sacred tabernacles are connected and they're highly intelligent beings. There is no interfaith posturing. I love it. Their biology is their theology. When you realize the significance of this invisible connection, you'll honor your human soul's relationship to your higher spiritual self, capital S self. When you acknowledge this connection from soul to cell and from cell to soul, your body becomes the highly charged, sacred ground of your being. When you achieve this perfect synchronicity, you'll experience the inner peace, joy, health, and wholeness, which are the truth of you. So, C-E-L-L, celebrate your cell power.
Well, that is really, really good. And I just have a couple questions for you, Bill. Okay. These are not really coming from me. This is because we've used language in so many different ways. I'm going to ask you to clarify, okay? So first of all, you're referring to soul in here, and because we've been doing a lot of stuff around soul in the context of Charles Fillmore meeting personality, is that how you're using it here, or are you using it in a different way?
I'm using it as our personality amped up in that, for me, our personality includes our current waking consciousness, our current subconsciousness, and also the subconscious, parts of the subconscious that are warehousing all of our consciousness experience from our past incarnations.
Okay, great. I figured you were using it in an expanded sense.
Yeah.
And as I said that, we don't, since we really can't know, whenever we're talking about soul as personality, we really have to make the assumption that those other influences are present because they are us in some way, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so then I have a question about each cell. Each of your atoms is a sacred tabernacle of pure consciousness. Do you want to say something about what pure consciousness is and how that might be different than your human consciousness?
Yeah, for me, pure consciousness really describes what a lot of people refer to as God, but not the anthropomorphic God. For me, it refers to God as principle, God as the infinite isness, God as the ground of all being. Sharon and I's word for God. Our God is an acronym, all capital letters, G-O-D, stands for Global Omnipresent Divinity.
Yeah, I love that acronym. And because this was in caps, I kind of figured that what you were referring to.
Yeah.
So you weren't referring to the usage of the word, a common usage, I should say, of the word consciousness, which simply means awareness, right?
Right, right.
Or awareness plus arousal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're using this in the context of your spiritual philosophy, let's say it that way.
Oh, that's good,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
because for us, just so our listeners know, I know the three of us would agree that for us, the reason it's more than what normal people define consciousness, particularly if they define it in theological terms, anything theological is limiting their perspective.
Yes, exactly.
It's all based on that particular theology. And that's why the three of us would rather say spiritual perspective, because a perspective is more integrative, more expansive, more bandwidth than theology.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I caught that distinction before when you use spiritual perspective like I'm understanding it now. So thank you for clarifying that. Okay, are we ready to do the absolute word?
I think so.
Ready.
Here we go. And so the absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And of course, these are Sunday versions of the absolute word. This one is for October 13th, 2019. The word is service. I joyfully give of myself in service to others. Today, I serve those closest to me as well as the larger community through my thoughts, words, and actions. As I see individuals or groups, I remember each person is fundamentally divine with unlimited potential, just as I am. In my professional work and as a volunteer, I look for opportunities to offer my skills and gifts in service to them. In doing so, I always use the principles of generosity and benevolence. I experience great joy as I give myself in service to others. I need no expression of gratitude from them, although they often give it. My service blesses me. I have a growing awareness of oneness in our divinity with those I serve and with all of humankind. I joyfully give of myself in service to others. Hooray.
Very good. Nice.
Okay. So thank you to our listeners. We so appreciate you listening. We appreciate any comments you have. And share, will you give that where they go to add a comment? And then we will close this out today.
They can actually leave comments on Metaphysical Romp, metaphysicalromp2.com.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Because the podcast gives you an opportunity to leave comments.
Great. MetaphysicalRomp2.com to leave comments and questions. So thank you to our listeners. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Cher.
Thank you. We enjoyed it very much.
Bye now.